Hello and welcome to our 73rd episode of the Gutenberg Changelog. Today we're going to talk about Gutenberg 14.1, WordPress 6.1, and a lot of good design tools. I'm Birgit Pauli-Ha, curator at the Gutenberg Times and full-time contributor to the WordPress Open Source Project. And today I'm thrilled to have with me as co-host Channing Ritter from the WordPress design team and design director at Automattic. Good afternoon, Channing. Thank you for joining me. We have been trying to do this together for so many months. So happy it's worked out today.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Awesome. So what have you been working on at Automattic right now?
I have been working a lot on the 2023 default theme that's coming up soon with the 6.1 release. It'll be released alongside 6.1 in November. So it's been a really, really interesting process. It's different than the way we've previously done the default theme in the sense that it's been very collaborative with folks all across the community helping design the theme and designing different style variations that will get bundled with the theme. So it's been a really interesting process. We've been having a lot of fun so far.
Yeah. So how many submissions did you get?
We got 38 total. Wow.
Yeah, for a first time, that's really cool. Yeah.
Very cool. And they're amazing submissions as well. If you go through the repository and just glance through what people submitted, they're so creative, they're so unique, and everything's really pushing the boundaries of what's possible in the editor currently.
Awesome. Yeah, we will show in the we'll share in the show notes the link to the repository. So, dear listeners, you can go and kind of browse around, get your own creativity going. And also, is there a process for or thought about a process for the ones that don't make it into the default theme? Because there were only 10 that make it. What happens with the others? Is there a way to download them, upload them, or something like that? Or what would be a good process to also use them?
There should be. We haven't quite figured out what it will be yet, but it sounds like it might be a child theme or some way of showcasing all these amazing submissions. Because like you said, there's so many cool ones and we really are only moving forward with 10 that will get bundled with the theme. But I think folks would definitely love to be able to play with all of the submissions because there's some great stuff there.
Yeah. I know that Justin Tadlock plans to do a child theme with that. So. With his variation and maybe bundles others as well.
So his submission, Rough Draft, was really great. I really enjoyed his submission, especially.
Yeah. So, well, thank you for going through this all with me. So the first announcement that we have is, of course, September 13th, the release team was on a recorded public Zoom call to discuss what features will make it into WordPress 6.1. And of course, the recording is available now on WordPress Make blog. I will share it in the show notes. But it also, the team gave us an outline of what will be coming in 6.1. And so at the start, Matthias also walked us through the default theme with the various style variations. But what else is going to be in WordPress? Is there anything that stands out for you?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the product demo, by the way. It was very cool to see Matthias demoing 2023, but also showing how 2023 will interact with some of the new features that have been, you know, built into the editor at this point. He especially showed one thing I thought especially cool was the zoomed out view, where you can kind of zoom out and see the full template and kind of interact with things at a container level. I don't think it's going to make it into 6.1 because it's still, you know, flagged as an experimental feature, but it was so cool to see that and how he was interacting with the style variations. And you can really get a sense of the different style variations in that view because you can see so much more of the template. I thought that was very, very cool. And then also tons of interesting new like design capabilities that we're also playing with in 2023. For example, the fluid typography and the spacing presets. It's been really cool to experiment with those in 2023 And I think it's it'll give folks a good example to kind of go out and start using those new features, just kind of referencing what was done in the default theme.
Yeah, especially the fluid typography really puts now responsiveness right into the editor and to the front end without having to think about viewports or think about other considerations. It just kind of scales. If the theme actually happens to use those things, not naturally. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, there will also be the new version of the quote block that we talked here on the show about, where you can add inner blocks to the quote block. So you can put a heading in there and images and paragraphs and lists. And then there's also a new version of the list block, where each list item is now a block, and you can navigate that a little bit better with up and down. There will also quite a myriad of changes to locking things that started with 6.0, but now it's expanded into patterns. You can lock certain blocks in patterns, and you can lock the child. There's this apply these locks to the blocks inside the container block. And then, so these content locks for blocks is a really expansion of that. Do you know how that's going to work?
Yeah, so I think this one is super interesting. And like you said, the first kind of iteration of locking controls was released with 6.0, but those were more, it was almost like a blunt instrument for locking. Like you could lock down things like movement or removal of a block. But the content lock is such a more like nuanced locking control, right? Because you can lock down the general structure of something like, say, a pattern. But then restrict the editing capabilities so that folks can't like kind of take apart the pieces of the pattern, but yet they can still get inside to edit text, make copy tweaks, change out images, that sort of thing. So you have a lot of control over the general structure and the attributes of the pattern, but folks can still get in there and make edits. So I think it's a really interesting evolution of the locking controls that were introduced in the previous release.
Yeah, and I think it's also a merging of two concepts. One that was in the block editor from the beginning, which was a reusable block, which always tripped a few people up because they changed it, and then they changed it all over the site, in that they used it as a pattern where pattern weren't available. And instead of kind of converting it to regular blocks and then changing, they changed the reusable block, and it was the same over the whole site. I think
Right.
the combining those two concepts is probably further down the line, where things can be locked down for content or for structure and styling, and be a little bit more granular in the lock pieces there.
I also think there's it's interesting the way that both the zoomed out view and the content lock are kind of moving towards the same idea of this like container first editing. It's been a real pain point we've seen over the past like many releases is that folks struggle with these kind of like complex block structures where you have like a lot of nested inner blocks and it's something that I've seen people really struggle with, especially we did in June, we did user testing as a part of the full site editor outreach program. And we paired with folks and kind of like watched them try to make changes in the editor. And that was something that over and over again, you see folks struggling with that. They think they've selected a certain level. They think they've selected the parent, but they're not actually on the parent and are accidentally changing the wrong level of block. So I think that's an issue that we've been trying to come at from the product design side of like trying to solve that in many different ways. And I think both the zoomed out view and the content lock are interesting kind of simplifications of the editing process. And the container first approach, I think, could go a long way towards just general usability and making it super easy to, make changes without trying to like dig through and figure out which level you're at or are you editing the right block and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I can see that. Even just thinking about a parent and child kind of concept, and how do you get to the parent when the toolbar then all of a sudden changes, and then you're looking for some controls in the sidebar, but you have selected the wrong block. Yeah, I can see that. There's definitely some usability there. Sometimes it's also just the complexity of all of a sudden you have so much more freedom. Yeah, that these concepts need to be learned first before you even can manage your freedom well. It's an interesting balance to strike with the interface there. Yeah, and we will have, of course, the what we talked here quite a bit was also for 6.1. There will be more templates available to the site builder or site owner to get through the template interface, where you can add new templates for authors and for we had the authors and some others, but now it's also for custom post types. You can do it for single categories. So you can have on your site a category WordPress, a category travel, and a category personal notes, and each one of them can have a different styling on their summary posts or on their single post block. So that's going to be a real change for the capabilities of WordPress at all, because before you actually needed a developer to implement those template changes, and now you can do them all yourself when you have additional block custom post types that are available through plugins and all that.
Agreed. Those are really big changes. And I think we saw a lot of changes there in 6.0, which kind of expanded template creation capabilities. And that's it's cool to see that continue into 6.1 with it just getting more and more refined.
Yeah, and then there will also be some developer-focused changes or features in there. There's the big style engine revamp of the consolidation of classes and styles and style variables. And then there will be the team has been working on PHP hooks for the theme JSON file, and then also what there is also a call for testing out, but there's also an Elements API that right now I think only goes through the theme JSON, where you can, for any heading, you can have a setting, a styling in the theme JSON file without identifying the block or the blocks where those could be used. The same with links and other on buttons. Yeah, you can have a general kind of styling for those. And then there will be also settings for the captions. Yeah, like the embed, the images have captions, gallery has a caption, and the embed blocks have captions. And those were only, you only could do, I think, bold and italics and a link in there. But now you can actually add more settings to them or styling to them, but only through the theme JSON. The user interface hasn't been built yet, hasn't I don't think even designed yet. Yeah, so
I think you're right. It tends to go that way, right? Like the capabilities added in theme JSON first, and then get around to adding some UI there.
yeah, and I like that, because then you can actually see what people do with it before you.
Yeah, me too.
And for the so there will also be in the 6.1 a feature where you can use block-based template parts in classic themes. And we have been hearing that quite a lot, that for the classic themes or those that have doing hybrid themes, if they could gradually adopt block themes or full site editing by giving a certain feature, opening up certain features for classic themes. And the template parts has been merged into Gutenberg 14.1 and will be in the beta next week for 6.1. So, and there is a call for testing and feedback about using it, because it's the first version. And as you know, the first version is never really built out. It kind of does the most important things, but what else is needed? And does it even work like the developers have envisioned that? So it offers you, yeah, as I said, gradual adoption. And it's a full set editing for agencies have requested that, and that needs to be testing before we go into release candidate, which is beta 1 is September 20th, and then 3 weeks after that, which release candidate is on October 11th. So it would be good if your feedback would come in for before October 4th for the last beta to make some changes to that. And I
This is
think
a
that Go ahead.
This is a perfect feature for a full site editing call for testing, in my opinion. It's just such a major feature. Like you said, it's something we've talked about for a long time. And obviously, we want to encourage folks to be adopting site editing and all the amazing new capabilities that are possible. And, it kind of like is an easier barrier for entry, or lowers the barrier for entry, and it gives folks an easy way to try it out with their classic themes.
And it also gives a perfect opportunity for agencies to talk with their customers about one thing that they can offer to them that they can change, like headers or footers or maybe sidebar items. So they can both clients and agencies can kind of figure out what's the balance between being locked down and giving freedom. And I like that. Hopefully, we get quite a few feedback on that before it makes it to 6.1. We also are certainly happy to get the feedback afterwards, but then the change might not happening until 6.2, which is not yet scheduled, but it will come in 2023 here. Yeah, that
Right.
6.1 is the last major release in 2022. Yeah, while we are at it, so I can repeat the dates again. Beta 1 is September 20th. The scheduled release candidate is right now scheduled for October 11. And then the final release is scheduled for November 1st in 2022.
Coming soon.
Coming soon to a WordPress instance near you.
Exactly.
So that brings us to the community contributions of this show. And I have two things, and some of you probably have already heard about it, either through Gutenberg Times or through Twitter. So I had a conversation with Artur Grabowski from the Extendify team, and they have a new product, and they work with a called Launch, and they work with the hosting companies to install the most modern onboarding experience for WordPress customers of the hosting companies. Hosting companies did some research and they have a relatively high churn rate on of 50% of customers leaving for an SaaS, for a software as a service, CMS, also a locked one. And Launch, the Extendify Launch should help them to help those WordPress customers to onboard. And they ask, a very, give them a very personalized information, like they ask for the goals and for the industry, and then have images and copy that is already kind of usable for those verticals, and then also have a seamless integration for the WordPress instance. Give them a to-do list on what's next, write your about page, and here you need to have your contact form, and also include they don't include yet anything for third-party page builders, but this is so important. When you have ever seen someone who installs WordPress on a hosting company's site and then is greeted with a WP admin dashboard, many people are lost and don't know what to do next. And most of the time it says kind of install that page builder, which it's not kind of, and then they're lost for WordPress entirely. So
Right. This sounds like a great project. I can't wait to check this out, actually.
yeah, me too. I only saw a demo. I didn't get my hands on it yet, but it's also very, very new. So they are just started talking with the hosting companies. I will share the link in the show notes so you can check out their website and see what they have planned there. The second interesting conversation, I had many, many interesting conversations at WordCamp US, and one got really my attention was with Aaron Edwards. He demonstrated an early beta version of the Imagine newest product, which is a plugin that brings the magic, as they say, the magic of AI image generation to WordPress. So you give a prompt for an image generation API through that plugin, like young female assembling blocks in the right corner of a car repair shop kind of thing. And then you get a set of images back. And I indicated, so in the interface, you can indicate which painter you wanted to kind of feel like. Yeah, and I selected the Mexican painter Frida Kahlo, and in the second set, the Spanish painter Salvador Dalí. And it was really interesting to see how that topic kind of changes with the different styles. And if you haven't yet looked, the featured image on the latest post, Weekend Edition 2028, actually has an image, a featured image that was AI generated through that plugin. I just heard this morning, and we're recording this on September 15th, that the plugin is now available through the repo. So I will add it to the show notes right fresh from here. So
So cool.
have you played with any imaging AI?
Yeah, I have been. I've been playing with Midjourney a lot, like way too much. It's hard to tear yourself away, you know,
Yeah,
once you get going.
it's really addictive, and Midjourney has this.
Definitely.
Yeah, have you exceeded your 300 points or what that was?
Yes, I immediately upgraded. And it's really cool. I mean, obviously there's a ton of things that, you know, a ton of cool things that could be done with this new technology in WordPress. So I'm really excited to check out this plugin.
Yeah, me too. And I'm glad that it comes to WordPress, all the cool stuff as well. Yeah, because it's such a ubiquitously used CMS. Yeah.
I keep having this idea floating around in the back of my mind that the Jetpack image compare block would be so cool for like trying different styles. Like if you use the exact same prompt but changed the, you know, the painter or the, you know, the art movement that's inspiring the style, and then you could have the image compare block and sort of like slide across and see how similar different the different images are. That's my
Yeah, that's a good
WordPress idea.
idea. Yeah, for demonstration purposes, we could kind of do
Right.
that. Yeah. And this plugin also, when you give the prompt to it, and it takes about, I don't know, 30, 40 seconds. It's not instantaneous, but it's you can wait for it, and the anticipations increases,
Right.
and then you get four images back, and then you can refine them. And Midjourney has the same.
Right.
Where you can refine it, and then you can upscale a version
Upscale.
you like, and then you get more details in it. It's just phenomenal what this does. Yeah.
And they're so much more impressive after you upscale too.
Yeah. I think, which one was it? I think 20, was it 2027? I spent one morning on a Sunday on Midjourney, and I actually had a image, yeah, in 2027 and 2027 was with Midjourney, and then 2028 was with that plugin. So you already can compare two things right there. Yeah. So now from the cool stuff to the cool stuff. So what's released? We are looking at the Gutenberg plugin release 14.1 with 59 contributors, and seven of them new contributors merged 348 PRs in this release. And
Wow.
that's a huge number.
That's a huge number. I love when these, you know, the Gutenberg releases, the last few leading up to a major WordPress release are always so epic. Like there's so many things getting merged at the last moment. It's really exciting.
Yeah. And yeah, no, don't fear. We are not going to go through 348 PRs today. There were a lot of PRs that were cleaning up some of the code, or merging something, or migrating something over to a different, to TypeScript, or to switch out Lodash for performance reasons. So that, of course, also contributed to a fair number of PRs. So, yeah, do you want to do us the honor and kind of dive right in into the change log?
Yeah, so let's start with the zoomed out view that was added to the site editor. We just chatted about that briefly because it was demoed during the 6.0 walkthrough earlier this week. But it is one of the most exciting things, I think, going into this release. And like I said, it's always exciting when you're getting close to a major release and you have all of these features that have kind of been cooking throughout the release cycle, and then you want to try to get them in. Even if this is going to remain experimental for a while and probably not go into the major release, it's still really cool to be able to try it in the plugin. So this is something you have to go into the Gutenberg experiments page and actually enable it. So some folks might miss that. You have to turn on this feature in order to be able to try it out. And as we mentioned, this is, a more like container first approach to editing. It kind of does this really nice zoomed out effect where you can see more of the template above the fold on the page, makes it really easy to select at a container level and move around entire sections, really easy to insert new patterns as a new section. And you can imagine like that this is just a really easy way to rapidly build out a template from pre-existing patterns and making it really easy to like we were saying before, not get lost in the like little granular inner blocks, and you're looking at more of like the big picture layout structure of your template in this view, which I think is incredibly helpful.
Yeah, and you can then also scroll through or browse through all the templates that are on your site and kind of compare them and see what is the same and what is different, just in a great smaller view, but you see the full page of that. So I really like that. Yes, cool.
And another major one, which we also touched on briefly, is the new content locking experience. I had worked a lot on the block locking tools that were released with 6.0, and we had actually tried a couple things around content locking. For example, we tried something on the reusable block where it would add kind of a click-through overlay, and but you wouldn't be able to click through the overlay. The overlay would kind of block you from being able to edit the content inside. And I think that was an interesting approach, but it was more of a blunt instrument, and once we started testing that and looking at how it worked, it occurred to us that, actually folks probably need to be able to edit some of the content inside, and you don't want to remove all of the editing capabilities. You just kind of want to restrict it. So this is a much more nuanced approach, and I've been playing around with it a lot. I think it's working really well.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Looking forward to that. Yeah, we as I said, yeah, it's the kind of yeah, it's the reusable block going to be merged into this
Right.
idea, yeah.
Right. And then also lots of design tools improvements. I think we're seeing a lot of typography support being added just across tons of different blocks, with the goal being to, get the design tools to a place where they feel really consistent across different blocks. And, if you interact with typography in a certain way on one block, then you go to a different block, it should be familiar, and you should recognize, kind of see the same controls there. So, I did a ton of PRs in this release. Is this right? 22 more blocks have more typography support enabled. That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, it was last release, it was 30, so we're coming to the.
Right.
I think there are 80 blocks. Well, no, 50 blocks about in there, and I think it's now finished with the with that. And the same round with like the typography consistency, typography being available consistently over all the blocks where you need to change the fonts. Also, the same is true for the spacing supports for blocks. So you can have dimension controls and padding and margin, and also have you can also step through that and have step sizes there. And it's now also available for the gallery block, for the comment block, category list, and other blocks. Like it was also from the previous release. It's a continuation on that, and then. What's also has been, and Matthias actually demonstrated that also in the walkthrough of 6.1, that the transformations are a little bit gotten a little bit chaotic because they're also
Right.
considered which were mostly used or last used blocks, and so you could get an interesting listing of what you can transform a block to. And now there's a decision made that the most used blocks like paragraph list and quote can you can kind of have them on the top of the list of all the transforms. So you have always those available. And other blocks actually get additional transformations. Like in this release, the code block can now be transformed to a mere paragraph block, which wasn't available before. And back to the spacing, columns block now also have the axial blocks, axial block spacing. So you can have spacing on one side of it, but not on the other. And you can, like you can also do with images, yeah, you can have
Right.
a radius on one side, but the others are corners, normal corners.
Right. These consistency improvements, I feel like they go such a long way with usability, especially for newcomers who are trying to learn how to use Gutenberg. And it is really helpful, right? If you learn how to change a setting on one block, you come to expect those settings and you know exactly where to find it. It's really nice to see all this movement.
Yeah, it really came great together. And there was a ton of improvements also to the navigation block. And I just want to highlight two of those. And you're more than welcome to talk about the others if you wanted to. So there is create a classic navigation menu as draft and dirty for the site editor. So if there is a that's certainly something to have the migration process from old to new a little bit smoother. That
Yeah.
when you have a classic menu that you wanted to use, and that you can go back and forth with it. Not quite sure how that's going to work, but it's definitely something that has been missing
Yeah,
before.
definitely smoothing out some rough edges with the navigation block. All of these improvements are like little iterative tweaks, but they go a long way towards just making that block feel like more intuitive. A little smoother to use. I love a few of these, like this adding the animation to when you open the overlay. I think that's so cool. It feels super smooth when you do it. And even just, fixing the position of the X overlay so it's, or the X icon so it's in the exact same position as the icon you use to open the overlay. Like those are the small tweaks that designers obsess over, right?
Right. But that make it so easy to kind of spot it when it comes out and kind of see it when you're using it, yeah. And now you can even select a different icon for your mobile menu button.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
love the
so
new icons.
it
Those are
doesn't have to be a
great.
hamburger. It also can be something else, right?
Those are great. Collectively, all of these improvements to the navigation block, they just make it so much more like customizable and more pixel perfect. I'm really happy to see all this movement happening
Yeah,
there.
the designers are really very happy about that.
Yeah.
And here's one that I like very much that's in the block editor. And when you add a link to a paragraph or so or to a section, and it shows you the latest posts and pages in a drop-down box. And now each one of them gets a different icon. So you can distinguish easily by icon. Is it a page? Is it a category page? Or is it a post? So I really like that because then you're sure just if you have a post on a page that have similar titles, yeah, it's kind of hard to find the right one if you don't have additional clues in there. So I really like that.
Yeah, it is really helpful. I never really thought about it before, but the addition of the icons is very helpful.
Yeah, especially also because there is this new keyboard shortcut. I don't know how new it is. It must be maybe two or three Gutenberg versions before. When you want to do an internal link, you can do just two left brackets, square
Oh, right.
brackets, and then it gives you a list of all the posts and you can search on it. And there you will find that too because they use the same component there. So it's really interesting to see.
Yeah, nice
This is.
improvements there. And then we also have some great improvements in this release around patterns. So one of them was post type restriction API for patterns. I believe that's where you can restrict patterns that are being inserted based on the post type. So if you had a really specific post type, like books or something like that, you could have particular patterns that will only appear for that particular post type, which gives a lot more control over what can be inserted there. Another one was allowing remote pattern registration in theme.json when core patterns are disabled. I think this was a request from the theme developer community. who would like the ability to disable the core patterns, but still be able to include specific patterns from the pattern directory. So again, more nuanced controls there, which is very cool.
Yeah, it's more like a curation. Even if it's not your own patterns, you can kind of select the best five patterns from the that you think as a theme developer, those are good to have and they fit your theme as well. Then you can have them included in the pattern inserter without enabling all the other 800 patterns that
right.
are in the pattern directory.
There's a lot of great stuff in the pattern directory, but you do have to kind of search around to find it. So
yeah,
very cool.
Yeah, there is a little bit of a quality kind of, I think we should do a little bit more curation there in terms of quality of the patterns, but it's just how it is. Yeah, when the community comes in, you have all qualities from low to high and in between, and some are cool, but you would never put it on a business website. Yeah.
True. But it's amazing to see how many are there,
yeah.
Considering, you know, there wasn't even a pattern directory, you know, maybe a year ago.
Yeah.
And just like how many, you know, community submissions have been added there. It's amazing. There's a ton of things to choose between. I use it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we didn't talk about that, but how are there additional patterns that will come with the default theme that you remember?
I don't think so. I think we were kind of looking at, you know, the general approach to the default theme was take 2022 and just strip out the opinionated aspects of it and just make it kind of like a blank canvas approach. And I think we were thinking something similar with the patterns, like, you know, almost the exact same patterns as 2022, but maybe strip out some of the imagery and whatever else might be included there. Haven't really taken a close look at that, but it's probably getting to time where we should be taking a look at that. Good reminder.
Yeah. All right.
And then let's see, one more thing that was added here. This is to Global Styles, adding outline support for blocks via theme JSON. That's very cool to give the ability to control the outlines there, like on buttons and whatnot.
Yeah, but it's only for the theme JSON right now. No UI. Graphic interface there. Yeah.
Always good to start there. Let's see. And then also theme JSON addition is the ability to style citations. So that was not previously possible. And citations, of course, appear across many different blocks, including like quote, pull quote. So just a little bit more nuanced control there.
Yeah. And I know quite a few people add that to their normal text. Yeah. They go to custom HTML and then put cite in. So now this can be styled as an element as well through the theme. So that's really, it's good.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And yeah, and there's also a filter for inner blocks for the navigation block that was added. So developers, like plugin developers, can add additional menu items to the navigation block without having to worry about the interface for users. A use case for that is to add, for instance, a logout or login menu to a navigation menu when it's necessary, if you want to have just a subscriber only thing, or it's for members membership plugin or so, that can be added to the navigation block. It took a while to get this in because there was this kind of hesitant to bring something into the block editor without a user interface. Yeah, but this definitely a use case that Andy Fragan had for it was really, yeah, quite plausible and got approved and merged into this release. So it will be available for 6.1. Yeah. And then Jagosz Tolkowski also worked on the import. That's more developer oriented, of course, as well, to import individual blocks to your plugin or app instead of completely import the library. So you can target specific blocks that's for your app. And then another, for the block API, there's now a render field for the block JSON that will allow you to point to a dynamic block rendering template on your theme or plugin. that you need, so you don't have to register your rendering page separately. It just you can just kind of take it from the block.json meta field, and that's now enabled. Yeah, and then we're gonna get past a lot of bug fixes and bug
A
fixes and bug
lot, a
fixes.
lot.
A lot. Yeah. Good job, team.
Yeah, squashing those bugs.
And yeah, you can definitely kind of go, has my bug fix my bug been fixed? Yeah, there's definitely some hurrahs around the
Thanks.
community. So finally it's been
Yeah,
fixed. Yeah.
thanks to everyone who's been logging the bugs as well.
Yeah, thank you. It's such a major important contribution to actually go through the pain, sometimes I say, to actually test something that is quirky and make it so you can make an issue on the Gutenberg repo so people can fix it. It's def
Definitely.
yeah, it's such a big contribution.
And so many of those bugs come out of the full site editor outreach testing. You know, folks are constantly uncovering just enhancements and finding bugs and just seeing how things could be improved upon.
Yeah, indeed. So there was also some for developers also kind of pointing out some documentation updates that are already available on the block editor handbook. And that is that the documentation for the block template parts for the theme support for classic editors, classic themes. The documentation is already in the repo. I'm sure we also will have a developer note out when it hits the 6.1. Also in that call for testing, there are some instructions there how to test things. So that is definitely a well-rounded feature release. And then another piece of change is that the doc generation script for JavaScript can now handle a since tag. So changes into packages and other JavaScript tools that are used with Gutenberg components, you can now see since when this particular feature is available in the documentation. That's something that WordPress does quite a bit in their reference guides on the back end side, but for JavaScript, it was always a little bit cumbersome to get this in. So now there is a first version of that available, and we'll probably see some more usage of that.
Nice.
So, what else?
Then jumping way ahead, we're coming almost to the end of the list here. Some updates around themes. We've already talked about block-based template parts for classic themes, which is huge. Do the call for testing that's out now. That would be great to get feedback on. Another one that's pretty cool is adding the ability to add a gradient overlay for the post featured image block. This was actually something that came up when working on 2023, and someone had submitted a style variation with this idea that you could use a gradient overlay on, you know, something like the home template where you have the post featured image block in the query loop. And obviously, duotone is possible there already, but the gradient overlay is kind of a different effect. You can make it a, you know, bit bolder. You can play with the opacity there. So it was very, very cool to see that kind of like arise
Yes.
out of a need. Yeah, I think, you know, there's this long
Gradients.
tradition. Yeah, exactly. There's
Gradients,
this
yay.
long tradition of default themes kind of influencing features and vice versa, right? And the product design and the theme development kind of informing each other and working in parallel. And that's been really cool to see throughout the course of this release cycle. I think that feature in particular was something that it was really cool to see that get added and now will be used in that style variation, which is
Wonderful,
called
yeah.
Pilgrimage, by the way, coming soon with 2023. And then another really cool one is this new justification controls that you can mess with on a constrained layout, and it will give you the ability to kind of add justification to the inner blocks in a container. So you could have them all go left justified or all go right justified. Again, just a lot more detailed or more nuanced control than you ever had there before.
Yeah, or kind of collecting all the nuance controls and do it in one step instead of 15, because
Right.
yeah, I really like that all. That's awesome. I think we jump over a few things here. Let me look.
Sorry, I may have skipped
Yeah,
a couple.
No problem, no problem. We can always go back. And there was one thing that I wanted to mention was that you can now pass extra query arguments to the REST API for an accurate preview of the extenders. So for the query loop. So that is something that if you have a if you do a want to add additional arguments, then you can add them to your blocks or to your block variation. And so it's more like an extension for developers and theme developers rather than for AI. Like WooCommerce uses that quite a bit and others as well. So yeah, check that out. The PR has quite a few details in there, and that's definitely something that will also be in 6.1 and will have a developer note in the field guide, of course.
Nice.
But prepare yourself for it. And I think there was it. Oh yeah, and global styles data will also be filterable. There is a first version already in there that you can create. You can use global styles default or global styles blocks or global styles. So there's these four layers of changes from global styles. Yeah, it goes the default one is comes with core, and then you each block can have additional filter for the global styles, and then as well as the third party blocks, and then the theme has an opinion about how the their styles, and then the user can change those
Right.
styles, say, okay, I want a different color, I want a different font, I want a different spacing there, and I want a gradient there, and then there are now filters to tap into that with PHP to change some of the styling if there is a need.
Nice. Thanks for explaining that one. I saw it on the list and I wasn't quite sure what it was.
Yeah, as always, it's the first version. Try it out. I think it would also be a good call for testing for that. But it was also it comes often in conversations that plugin developers don't want to do their own styling for things. There may be a default styling, but also accept some of the things that are in SceneJSON and just kind of bring them in. So the block that also has a front end version of it kind of fits seamlessly into a theme or into a site. So that's definitely something that people want to do. But
Cool.
there's a lot of that. It went to multiple iterations and just landed now for 14.1. So it's going to be real interesting to see what other people do with it. All right. Yeah, you're right. That's the end of our change log. Wow, we made
We got through
it.
the
Yeah. It was awesome. Yeah. Thank you so
All
much.
348,
Eight.
was it? Changes?
Yeah,
Very, very
348 in
impressive.
48 minutes or something like
I love it. This is
that.
such a great way to keep up with everything that's going into Gutenberg, by the way, because it's hard to keep up. Things move so quickly. And so this podcast is such an awesome way to just get like the overview. This along with the What's New in Gutenberg release posts. That's
Yeah.
definitely
Oh,
how
thank
I
you.
stay up to date.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, now you've been a part of it, and thank you for making the time today. So, if people want to get in touch with you and connect with you, what would be a good time, good place for you to do that?
Probably just on the Making WordPress Slack. You can always send me a DM. My username is Critterverse. That's CritterVerse. I'm totally love to get DMs from folks, and I have folks reaching out to me all the time, especially about the default theme lately. And I'm always happy to help point you in the right direction of if you want to contribute to Gutenberg or help contribute to the default theme.
Wonderful.
Would love to help there.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And I don't have anything to remind you about except for, okay, beta is coming out September 20th, and all beta testers are asked to test it with the beta tester plugin. And as always, the show notes will be published on the gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. This is episode 73. And if you have questions or suggestions or news you want us to include, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. And well, again, thank you, Jenning, for sharing this with me and kind of being on the podcast with me. It was wonderful, and I hope we do it again sometime
Yeah.
soon. And Thank you all for listening, and I'll talk to you in about 2 weeks.
Bye-bye. Thank you for having me. Bye.
Bye.